I'm from Philly, so I talk with my hands. Grace and peace to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. It is wonderful to be here with you this morning, not just in general, as I've had the opportunity and privilege to do that in the past, but to especially be here with you this morning to mark this moment. As we have entered into this moment, as you have been enjoying this moment, even though you've been enjoying stories of your past and thinking about your future, one thing that's consistent through all of those things, which is the most important thing to state this morning, is this glorious good news. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Amen, church? That is the good news of Jesus Christ. And this moment that you are marking here today is tangible evidence of the promise of Jesus Christ in Matthew 16 when he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Cornerstone Fellowship Church, you are evidence that Jesus Christ is doing what he said he would do. You are evidence that even though we live in a broken, sin-cursed world, that Jesus Christ has redeemed a people from every tribe, tongue, and nation who will bring glory to the Father forever and ever and ever. And that even though this world is broken, there is a remnant of God's people who are living their lives for the glory of God in relationship with the triune God. And you are the proof to the glory of God. Amen? And so I celebrate with you this glorious good news. I celebrate that Christ is building his church and that you are tangible evidence. 30 years of tangible evidence that Christ has secured for himself a glorious, glorious bride. So thank you, Daniel and Jim and Mike and John and Phil, for this humbling invitation to be a part of this moment. And I would just add this thought before we get into the text, as you've been reminiscing the significant moments in the life of your local church, I just want to remind you that you also are playing a significant role in the broader church. In November of this year, the Churches of Trinity Fellowship will be gathering here once again as you play gracious host to our final General Assembly in our interim period of planting this denomination. And your church has played a significant role. Your leaders have played a significant role and are playing a significant role, not only in the planting of a church, but in the founding of a denomination. And I would be remiss if I did not take the moment to especially thank the influence of one of my greatest apostolic mentors, Phil Sasser, for the role that he has played in the founding of this denomination. And I'm just so grateful to God for this church, grateful to God for your leaders, and grateful to God for you and the significant role you're playing and what Christ is doing, not only here in Apex, North Carolina, but throughout our country and throughout our world because of our partnership in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, thank you. Would you take your Bible now and go to Acts chapter 2? This morning, I want to preach to you a message entitled, A Church in Awe of Christ. And it is my spirit-empowered endeavor this morning to charge you, Cornerstone Fellowship Church, to continue after 30 years of faithfulness and fruitfulness, continue to be a church that is in awe of Jesus Christ. Acts 2:42, verse 42, let us hear the word of God. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. Let me redirect your attention to verse 43. And all came upon every soul. That is God's word. May he add his blessing to its reading and preaching by the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm sure you are familiar with moments in your life where you have experienced awe and wonder. You know, those moments when you step back and all you can really do in response to what was happening, simply say, that was awesome. And if you're like me, you have a mind that catalogs things with dates, and maybe you have some dates in your life and experience that are connected to awesome moments. For me, they're dates like October 19th, 1994. It was the day in Northeast Philadelphia where a significant landmark in our neighborhood was going to be imploded. It was the Sears Roebuck Tower. And me and my buddy Tim, we went down to the blast zone and we wanted to witness this event. And so we got there. There were hundreds of people getting as close to the blast zone as possible, pushing up against the do not pass tape. And we heard that countdown, 10, 9, 8. And in a matter of seconds, we watched 9 million bricks tumble to the ground. We could feel the earth move under our feet. That was awesome. Or May 19th, 2001, my wedding day to my wife, Rachel. We decided before the wedding festivities that we wanted to have a moment where I could see her in her wedding dress for the first time without anyone else around. And so I stood in the front of the sanctuary with my back to the church doors, and then I heard those doors open, and I turned around, and there she was, my beautiful bride, in her wedding gown. That was awesome. April 2nd, 2003, September 17th, 2004, September 18th, 2006, the birthdays of our three children, Payson, Piper, and Silas. I still remember holding them in my arms for the very first time. Oh, church, that was awesome. Or maybe a date that you can remember. December 19th, 2001, the cinematic premiere of J.R.R. Tolkien's The Fellowship of the Ring. Finally, that which was on book was now on the big screen. And I remember seeing for the first time Gandalf in the Mines of Moria take his staff and plant it on the bridge and say those words, "You shall not pass." That was awesome. Or how about June 21st, 1992, the first Sunday worship gathering of Community Life Church in Cary, North Carolina. Families had moved from Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Maryland to this place to plant this church, to lay down their lives in sacrificial service and worship for the one who lived and died and rose from the dead. And here you are, 30 years later. That is awesome. In Acts 2, 42 through 47, we find a local church that is filled with awe and wonder. We read in verse 43 that awe came upon every soul. And we are going to discover this morning that the reason why this church was filled with awe and wonder is because this was a church that was aware that Jesus was among them. They knew that Jesus was in their midst. His presence was tangible. His power was discernible. His grace was palpable. His nearness was detectable. And day by day, they were more and more aware that the crucified, risen, ascended, and exalted Jesus was right there in their midst. And church, it was awesome. And that's what you should want, dear church. It is what you've experienced by the grace of God for these past 30 years. And by the grace of God, may it be true of you in the days and months and years to follow. Cornerstone, may you continue to be a church that's in all of Jesus, because you are aware that Jesus is in your midst. And so this morning, I want us to consider from this text this reality that you will go deeper in your all of Christ as you go deeper in your pursuit of Christ. Cornerstone Fellowship Church, may you be a church that continues to go deeper in your all of Christ as you together go deeper in your pursuit of Christ. This is Christ's vision, not only for the church in the pages of the book of Acts, but this is Jesus' vision for his church until he returns. You know this. This is not new news to you, but the book of Acts is not simply a monument to admire, but a model to aspire. And Jesus wants you to be a church, like the church in Jerusalem, that grows day by day in your all of Christ as the church goes deeper in your pursuit of Christ. And as you go deeper in your pursuit of him, you will be deeper in your all of him. So let's consider this amazing reality from two angles in the text before us this morning. First, let's consider awe defined. What does it mean for the church to be in awe of Christ? And then second, awe discovered. How do we as a church continue to pursue being in awe of Christ? First, awe defined. What does it mean to be a church that's in awe of Christ? Let me direct your attention once again to verse 43. And awe came upon every soul. The word soul is talking about the inside of a person, the immaterial part of you, the part of you that you don't see, but the part of you that you very well sense. It's where we get, it's a word that's dealing with our emotions and our feelings and our perceptions. It's the part of us that discerns. Whatever this all is describing here in Acts 2:43, it's describing something that everyone in the church felt or experienced at the deepest level of their innermost being. Then there's the word all itself. The word all in the original language is the Greek word phobos. It's where we get the English word phobia. It literally means to be afraid. However, it's a word that describes a deep emotional experience that affects the body and the mind on a spectrum. On one end, depending on its use in scripture, it can mean an experience of negative emotion. It can mean to be in terror. Or it can be a positive emotion like wonder. In other words, it's a word that describes two extremes. It can mean, oh no, or oh wow. For example, in the Old Testament, it's the prophet Isaiah when he has a vision of Jesus on his throne in Isaiah chapter 6. And he writes, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated upon his throne and his glory filled the temple. And above him stood seraphim, each having six wings. With two they covered their eyes, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one cried out to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And how did Isaiah respond to that vision? Oh no! Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King. And it wasn't until God reminded him of his mercy and the atonement of his sins that oh no moment was translated to a oh wow moment. As he said, here am I, send me. That's all. It's Christ's disciples in the boat. in the Gospels. Well, this is just a little side note. If I were the disciples, I would have thought twice about getting into a boat, because every time they got into a boat, something bad happened, did it not? So here they are again in a boat with Jesus, and what do you know? A storm comes. And Jesus is sleeping in the bottom of the boat, and they have this oh no moment as they're filled with terror and fear. They believe they're going to perish, but they wake up Jesus, and Jesus comes up to the side of the boat, and he says to the storm, "Peace, be still." And the wind stops howling, and the rain stops pouring, and the waves stop crashing. And what do the disciples do? They're in awe. They say, "Oh wow, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and the waves obey him." That's all. The word translated all captures the sentiments of oh no, oh wow, and everything in between. But here's the common denominator. Whether it's an oh no or an oh wow moment, the common denominator when all is experienced is that it happens in the soul of someone who experiences the nearness of God. All is what happens when you are aware that God is not just up there, out there, somewhere, but he is right here among us. So when we read in verse 43, "And awe came upon every soul," what this means is that everyone in this church could sense, could tell, they knew that Jesus was right there in their midst. Even though they could no longer see him with their eyes, they could sense him in their souls. John Stott, in his commentary on the book of Acts, makes the following observation about where this awe was coming from. He says, quote, "God had visited their city, he was in their midst, and they knew it." They knew it. God was in their midst and they could sense it. They could sense God, apprehend God, dare I say, feel God. They could sense the nearness of God in their souls. Church, that's all. All is not a concept or a principle or a proposition. All is an experience, a feeling, a skipping of the soul in response to the nearness of Jesus Christ. And for this church in Jerusalem, sometimes that was an oh no, and sometimes that was an oh wow. For instance, in Acts chapter 5, when Ananias and Sapphira each individually dropped dead at separate times because of their sin of conspiring to lie to God and the apostles, we are told that great fear came upon all who heard it. Same word, phobos. Oh no. It was an oh wow moment when God added to the number day by day those who were being saved. It was an oh wow moment after Peter preached on the day of Pentecost and the Spirit descended and over 3,000 souls were saved in one moment. Wow! F.F. Bruce, New Testament scholar, notes, "There was an enduring sense of awe inspired by the consciousness that God was at work in their midst." They could not see him, but church, they could sense him. He was at work in their midst. It's also worth noting here that this awe came upon them, meaning that this experience of awe was a passive experience. What do I mean by passive? In other words, they didn't choose to be in awe. They didn't decide to be in awe. They didn't conjure it up. They didn't work up their emotions. The production team didn't get the sound and the smoke and the lights just right so it felt like God was there. No, awe came upon them. Awe. All is what God decides to do in the soul of those who are aware that he is near. God makes all happen. And if God makes all happen, then we know this: all is a gift. God is the one who, in his sovereign providence, at moments when we need it most, at moments to encourage our soul, and moments to make us deeply aware that we are truly the church of Jesus Christ, at the right moment, at the right time, God chooses to make us aware that he's here. He wants us to sense him, feel him, experience him, and be deeply in wonder of him. And based upon your church backgrounds and experiences, this may fall on you in different ways. If you come from more of a traditional background where emotion and experience is frowned upon, where Christianity is primarily thought of in terms of its objective propositional truths and theology, then whenever we talk about experience, we may get a little suspicious and our nose may begin to twitch a little. And then there's others on the other spectrum where you may have come from a church tradition where for you, if you don't have an experience, we never really entered into worship. Regardless of where you are on that spectrum, here is reality. God wants you to be in awe of him. God wants you to be aware that he is near. God wants you to know that right here, right now, he is in our midst. I find it very striking that the very last words of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of Matthew are this: "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." I am with you. The crucified, resurrected Christ wanted his disciples, wanted his church to know that he would be with them to the end of the age. The greatest gift the church has as it awaits the return of Jesus Christ is the awareness that even though Jesus is no longer here and seen with our eyes, he still can be sensed in our souls because he is very much still with us, the church. And you might think, it's very odd that Jesus would say, "I will be with you always," just in just a few moments later, he will be ascending and leaving the earth for a period of time, and he is yet to return. You might think, how can he say that? How can he say, "I am with you always," when he's about to leave the earth and ascend to the Father? Well, Jesus was preparing his disciples for this moment long before this moment. You may recall Jesus' teaching in the Gospel of John, in that section of John that's called the Final Discourse, John 14 through 17. And there Jesus is preparing his disciples for his exit from the earth. And Jesus says to them in John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Jesus says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." In other words, in between the times of Jesus leaving and returning, the way Jesus is with us is by the presence of the Holy Spirit. The same apostle said in 1 John 3:24, "And by this we know that he," that's Jesus, "abides in us by the Spirit who he has given us." By this we know. Another colorful word in the original language. It's a word that means not just know in the head, but to sense in the heart, to know, to sense, to experience, to feel. By this we know that Jesus abides in us by the Spirit who he has given to us. Meaning, church, that the primary reason the Holy Spirit has been given to every disciple is so that we can know and sense and feel and experience the presence of Jesus until he returns. Jesus doesn't want us to be alone. So he has given us the Holy Spirit to sense his nearness. So putting this all together, church, this is where the awe is coming from. The church in Acts is experiencing the nearness of Jesus through the presence of the Holy Spirit. From Pentecost forward, the church experiences the nearness of Jesus through the presence of the Holy Spirit as we wait for him to return. So how does this get real practical? Here's how it gets real practical. Church, Jesus is not with us in theory. Right now, Jesus is with us in reality. We don't simply come together and talk about Jesus and sing about Jesus and get ready for Jesus to come back. We come together and we stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And we wonder how he could love us, a bunch of sinners unclean. And it is the Spirit who tells our spirit that Jesus is here living and reigning above and beyond for our good and his glory. Glory in the church and all throughout the world. Christ is with the church through the Holy Spirit, which means this: Jesus goes to your church. I always find it interesting when I'm hanging out in a coffee shop or somewhere else in the city and I'm inviting someone to come to one of our churches in Philly, and I'll say, hey, maybe you know so-and-so goes to our church. I think you might know so-and-so who goes to our church, but there's somebody I really want you to meet that comes to our church. His name is Jesus. He's here. He's with you by the Spirit to the end. And church, here's the reason why Cornerstone Fellowship Church has thrived and flourished and grown and has had impact and has been a blessing to Apex and beyond. It's because Jesus is among you by the Spirit. The power of this church is the presence of Christ in this church. The joy of this church is the presence of Christ in this church. The love of this church is the presence of Christ through the Spirit in this church. These testimonies that have been given, these lives that have been shared, these relationships that have been built, there's one reason why all of this can be explained. It's this: Christ is here among you by the Spirit. And if he's been here with you for these last 30 years, if I'm reading my Bible correctly, he says that he'll keep doing that to the end of the age. That's good news for you. Jesus is with you. That's amazing. That's awesome. And so when you are aware of it, when you sense him, when you can tell, that's when all happens. All is the effect of God on the soul who's aware of Christ's presence through the Holy Spirit. All defined. That's what it means to be in awe. All discovered. Notice, secondly, an answer to the question, how do we pursue being in awe of Christ? What were the conditions? What was going on in the lives of God's people? What was going on in this church when they detected that Christ was in their midst? To answer that question, I believe we need to see how verses 42 and 43 relate. Look at verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and all came upon every soul. So here's the connection I believe we're supposed to make. As the church gathered and pursued the teaching of the apostles,
as they pursued fellowship by gathering in larger groups at the temple and in smaller groups house to house, as they pursued the breaking of the bread in the Lord's Supper, as they pursued God in humble, dependent prayer, as they prayed and pursued the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. It was through pursuing Christ in these ordinary means of grace that all came upon every soul. In other words, when the church gathered and they devoted themselves to these healthy practices or the liturgy of the church, the word, fellowship, sacrament, and prayer, it was through these means that the church experienced the presence of Christ, and they were filled with an ever-deepening awe and wonder of Jesus. So as the gospel was preached and the Bible was read, they experienced the nearness of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. As they fellowshiped together, ministering to one another in love and mutual care, they experienced the nearness of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. As they broke the bread and drank the cup, partaking in the Lord's Supper, they experienced the nearness of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. As they prayed together, pouring out their hearts to God for provision and protection and guidance and for miracles, they experienced the nearness of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. On the other side of verse 43, as they praise God together, singing and celebrating in worship, they experience the nearness of Jesus by the presence of the Holy Spirit. As they serve their neighborhood together in word and deed, they and their neighbors experience the nearness of Jesus by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Here is the point for us this morning, church. The way we discover awe and wonder is by pursuing the means through which Christ makes his presence known. The word, fellowship, sacrament, prayer, miracles, praise, charity, evangelism. It is when we pursue the ordinary means of grace that we set ourselves up to experience an extraordinary sense of God's presence. And it's when we experience God's extraordinary presence through these ordinary means of grace that our hearts are often moved to awe and wonder. You've experienced it before. As God's word's being preached, you feel at times that you are the only person in the room and God is speaking directly to your heart and you are amazed. When a prophetic word is shared like we heard this morning, there's a sense in which when that word connects with your heart, it's as if God is right here, right now, addressing you in your need, bringing care and comfort and encouragement to your needy soul. It's when we're singing a song and there's just that one line that arrests your attention and makes you sense and feel the goodness and grace and mercy and benefits that have come to you through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Church, when we gather together in the name of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit and give ourselves to the ordinary means of grace, it will be in those moments that we will experience extraordinary outpourings of God's presence. That's where all comes from. And what's true for the church gathered is also true for the church scattered. Christ goes with you wherever you go. And so as you experience God's presence through the ordinary means of grace, when we gather in groups like this and when you gather in groups in your home, you can also experience the presence of Christ as you seek him through the means of grace in your private worship. So church, do you want to be filled with awe? Do you want to be aware of the presence of Christ? Well, then if you want to be aware of Christ's presence, if you want to experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, then you must seek Christ's presence through these means. Pursue him through the means where he's promised to meet you collectively and individually. If you want to experience the presence of Christ in church, keep seeking him in his word. And when you seek him in his word, the Holy Spirit will meet you there. If you want to experience the presence of Christ, you must seek him in prayer. And when we start praying to the Father in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit will meet you there. If you want to experience the presence of Christ, you must seek him in fellowship with other disciples. When we start using our gifts to serve one another in love, the Holy Spirit meets us there. If you want to experience the presence of Christ, you must seek him in praise. When you lift up your voice and sing in praise and honor and glory of our triune God, the Holy Spirit meets you there. If you want others in your neighborhood to experience the presence of Christ, you must share God's word with them, pray with them, use your gifts to minister to them, and guess what will often happen? The Holy Spirit will meet you there. If you seek him, you will find him when you search with all your heart. It was many Christmases ago that a friend of mine gave me a very generous gift for Christmas. It didn't look too generous at first. It looked like just another ordinary travel mug from Starbucks. But when I screwed off the top of that Starbucks travel mug, which was a kind gesture in and of itself, there was a card inside. And when I pulled out the card, I read the following: you are eligible for a free espresso drink each day in the month of January. This ordinary gift turned extraordinary because of that piece of paper. I was now eligible to get a free espresso drink from Starbucks every day of the month in the month of January. That was good for my happiness, but not good for my waistline. That meant caramel macchiatos. That meant caramel lattes. That meant anything you could put caramel on. I want it. Okay? So this friend of mine knew my love, my affinity / addiction with caffeine, and this was a wonderful gift. So what did I do? On January 1, I couldn't wait to take my travel mug and head to Starbucks, and I said, fill her up. I went the next day on January 2nd, and I had them fill it up. And I went the next day on January 3rd, and I had them fill it up. But on January 4th, I didn't go to Starbucks. And you know what didn't happen? The barista didn't show up at my door and say, knock, 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 give me your cup, I'll fill it up for you. I was eligible for an amazing experience, but it was only through pursuing the gift that was given to me that I would actually experience it and enjoy it. And church, it's the same way with the presence of Christ through the Holy Spirit. We have this amazing gift, access to the presence of God through all the ordinary means of grace. And if we want to experience more of Christ's presence through the Holy Spirit, we must pursue it. We must go after it. Yes, we are eligible, but church, keep going after Christ. Keep going after him through the word. Keep going after him through prayer. Keep going after him through praise. Keep going after him through the sacraments. Keep going after him through song. Keep going after him through evangelism, words of mercy, and acts of mercy. And you will find in those moments, as you pursue him, Christ will show up by the Spirit and you will be in awe. Cornerstone Fellowship Church, by God's grace, you have been faithful and fruitful for 30 years. A church like this church in all of Christ. And may the rest of your story, as it continues to be unfold, may many marvelous things be said. May wonderful stories be told. May many lives be transformed. May many more gifted, called, and qualified pastor teachers stand before you and serve you and your children and your grandchildren until Jesus returns. But when it's all said and done, when it can all be described, would this be said about your church? This was a church that was aware that Christ was among them. And it was awesome. Let's pray. Father, thank you and praise you that you've not left us alone. I thank you and praise you that you are present with your people. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. We thank you and praise you that as we gather together in the name of your Son, when two or three are gathered, you are right there in their midst. And so we believe by scripture, we believe by promise that you are here with us even right now. And you have been manifesting your presence by the Holy Spirit through the word and prayer and prophecy and praise and fellowship. You've been present as stories have been recounted of your faithfulness over time. You are here. And God, I pray that we would be even more deeply aware that you're here. And as we are more deeply aware that you're here, I pray that our hearts be moved to worshipful awe and wonder. That we'd be brought to places time and time again where we say, surely God is in this place. And would you be honored as your presence is detected? Would you be adored as your presence is discerned? Would you be made much of as we are amazed that we who are sinners who deserve your wrath can actually stand in your holy presence and not wither away in judgment, but be in joy and glad, be joyful and glad and amazed and accepted and received and because of the mercy of Christ. And so God, I pray for my brothers and sisters here. I pray that they would become more deeply aware of your presence as they more deeply pursue you together through the word and prayer and fellowship and worship and the gifts of the Spirit and evangelism and charity and deeds of mercy, as they continue to be all that you've called them to be, as they continue to set their hearts to being faithful for the next 30 years. Oh Lord, my prayer is that they will be aware that you are right here in their midst. And would it truly be awesome to each one of their hearts? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.